Hi, I'm Maureen Greer, Head of Marketing and Partnerships at Only Pavement Away, the charity that supports people looking to rebuild their lives through employment opportunities in hospitality. To date, Only Pavement Away has placed 765 people into work, adding an approximate value of over £29 million back into society. This is our podcast series, Serving Success, where we explore how this amazing industry is truly driving change, supporting people to rebuild their lives and adding real value back into our communities. Each month, we catch up with inspiring leaders who have put people and purpose at the forefront of their businesses. So without further ado, I'm delighted to introduce this month's guest, James Brown, Head Chef at Unilever Food Solutions. Welcome, James.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Really, it's great to have you today. So I guess to kick off, just tell us about yourself and your role as head chef at Unilever.
Okay, so I guess I started my career in Cornwall as a pretty young chef. It was kind of a rite of passage to get a job in hospitality usually and in the summer seasons in Cornwall. So I started there, worked my way through some kitchens of various hotels and restaurants. And then over the years, I developed a passion for cooking, but also for mentoring and innovating. So now I find myself at Unilever, where I lead the culinary direction of Food Solutions in the UK and Ireland, and work closely with chefs and operators to develop solutions and support the industry.
And what inspired you to kind of get into hospitality?
I really like the camaraderie and just the idea that this bunch of misfits could create something out of raw ingredients. It was very much about scratch cooking back then as well, everywhere. So it was about whipping egg whites into meringues and making bread from flour. It just seemed like alchemy to me. So it was fairly romantic, but also it was something you could monetize, make money out of, and I could leave school and get on with a career.
Nice. So you've recently launched the Unilever Food Solutions Academy, which is obviously how we started working together.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us a bit more about that and the inspiration behind it?
Yeah, sure. So the UFS Academy is created to support chefs at every stage of their career. It's free and it's online learning, a platform with bite-sized training videos, basically. So it's made by chefs for chefs, which is really important to us in terms of getting that engagement. And really, I think in a world where we hear loads about the dearth of labor and talent and skills, it's more of a positive spin on that. So rather than just bemoaning the fact that there's this dearth of skills and education in it for chefs, it's about giving them something that they can learn from and build their careers from.
So that sounds great. So when someone signs up to the academy, what can they expect to find kind of once they open the door to the portal, I guess, to say it like that?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I think it needs to be as far reaching as possible, but not cluttered. So it's everything from the basic knife skills that a chef's going to need to right up into when you're managing a kitchen, how to consider your allergens when you're writing a menu and how to incorporate them, being better informed. And then about wastage, particularly about how to manage that. And also how to run a good, healthy team. There's going to be modules on mental health and running really good workplace environments as well. So all those sorts of things that are kind of incongruous with the way people were trained when I was younger to really sort of positively impact businesses now.
Brilliant. That's a really broad scope of content there, covering all bases.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it really is going to be a one-stop shop where everybody can get something from it, I think. And it'd be really a real important tool to just have with you, I think.
So we're all passionate about hospitality because we're in it and it plays a huge part in our lives. So what would you say to those kind of considering a role in hospitality for the first time, or maybe even those that have never even thought about it?
Yeah, hospitality for me, it's more than a job. And I learned quite early on that if you're doing something that you really enjoy, then you'll never work a day in your life. I'm not sure who originally said that, but it's a pretty good phrase. You know, it genuinely is a lifestyle full of opportunities. So it teaches resilience, creativity, business acumen, people skills, and they're valuable in any career. So they're all transferable skills. So even if you weren't to continue to pursue a career in hospitality, you learn an awful lot about any other industry and business from hospitality.
That's what makes it so unique, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. In no other industry can you say that you can kind of start off at the very beginning and then work your way up just based on your transferable skills and the right attitude.
Yeah.
You hear so many stories of it throughout the industry. It's so inspiring.
Yeah, it's true. And you meet people from all kinds of different industries as well who have been in hospitality. Yeah, they did it to get themselves through university or whatever. And there's lots of connections with lots of different people. And it is those people skills that they can really help you. fundamentally.
So sustainability is kind of a huge focus across so many industries. What role do you believe that chefs play in promoting more sustainable practices across hospitality?
Sustainability is huge. It's always been huge. Really. It's always been kind of really important to me and all through my career. And now it's even more crucial. It's about equipping, and through the academies, we're able to equip chefs with more knowledge about sustainability, but also how to manage it within their workplace. So it's about smart menu design and thinking about what ingredients you're going to use, keeping it seasonal, trying to keep it local, which is quite difficult sometimes, but that also manages cost. And also when thinking about wastage as a part of sustainability in the kitchen, it's not about necessarily managing the waste you've generated, but trying to avoid generating the waste in the first place, using nose to tail in terms of scratch cooking, but also from root to flower as well, and like using the whole of the plant and trying to incorporate different parts of foods. It's about buying carefully as well, only buying as much as you need rather than just blind ordering from home or whatever. So really looking in your stores and deciding whether you need it or not, or whether you can maybe make do another day, just trying not to waste those products. So using cost-effective techniques and using the whole of something rather than just a part of something and then wasting it. And I think educating through the academy, we're able to sort of teach future chefs about sustainability and really getting that ingrained from an early stage. It's all about sort of leading through influence and advocacy, really, and making sure that we're getting people nice and early and getting that message through. So it's a positive foundation in everything that they do. So when they're approaching food, whether it's to cook it and handle it, whether it's to write menus and design menus and recipes, it's always with that in mind. And that will have, the most positive impact.
Yeah, amazing. Train them young and then, the future of the industry.
Yeah.
So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges facing the sector at the moment?
Well, I mean, people say staffing. They always say staffing and labour. I mean, I've never worked in a kitchen that's been fully staffed. I don't think I've ever had that. maybe on the occasional shift, but by and large, we've always been short-staffed. But retention, certainly, and staffing are challenges now more than ever. I think post-COVID, there's been some really positive change. So a more sociable working shifts have been enforced, even in the Michelin standard. And essentially, Michelin standard is the couture, right, of our industry. So if they start doing it, then the rest of us start doing it at the lower levels. So a better work-life balance helps combat that. So other challenges that you might find in the kitchen are things like allergies. And allergens, they're huge at the moment. And that's not going to go away. And also at the moment, it's less prevalent in sort of the care sector, because that generation of people in elderly care particularly aren't as prone to allergies.
So
we have to be ready for that, and we have to be better informed with that, and it's important. So that's another pressure on chefs that never used to exist. And also the cost of goods, for whatever reason, fluctuates so much, and if they're up and high now, they're never going to come down to where they were before. So we have to be better at managing those, and also slowly trying to incrementally pass that on to the customer, who in turn is under pressure with the cost of living crisis. So it's really about getting that balance right. And that means that chefs are more than just cooks these days, like much more than that. And again, through COVID and post-COVID, they've had to be a little bit more better at mentoring and managing people as well on a more personal level. You can't treat people in the way that you used to. And that's well documented. And people like Kirk Hayworth, and they do really good work with introducing new people and new techniques of training people that just before would have been considered quite woo-woo.
It's amazing to see how the culture shifted. Like, even if you look historically at all the kind of media footage of it and how that's changed, and hopefully will just continue to improve as the time goes on. It's a massive shift, isn't it, culturally?
Yeah, it's a huge cultural shift, and it needed it. The industry needed it. I think that the way that the shift patterns are in a lot of businesses now as well, even like larger chains and things, and now that it's filtered down from that Michelin level, means that you will get better retention, you will get more consistency, and you will get a better quality product, and you will get more people coming into the industry and staying.
Brilliant. Which is great. Industry in general,
Yeah.
So we've talked about kind of obviously the importance of training and the value that the things like the Food Service Solutions Academy offers. What more do you think the sector can do to develop those and support those working within it?
For me, one of the things that was a bit of a challenge when I was coming up through the ranks was that I'm an old guy now, so a 47-year-old chef. When I was cooking, it was basically you either work for Gordon Ramsay and you'd made it, or there was nothing, there wasn't much else, right? Some key hotel chains and some other good restaurants, but it was high dining, or there was you were going to struggle to make a career. And I think it's become a little bit clearer that there are options now. So there's some great contract caterers out there. You can build fantastic careers with really good work-life balance. So I think it's about, now I work for an ingredient company. I never thought that would be the case. So creating clear pathways and making it abundantly clear to students at college or even in your team where they can go with what they're learning. That massively helps. But yeah, I think on the job training as well, I don't think people come to work at 7-8 o'clock in the morning to do a bad job. They're coming to work to do a good job. So it's about you keeping them connected and engaged with that. That's my role as a manager. That's always been my role, to give them purpose and something that they want to get up at that time to come and do a good job.
Oh, so you touched on Gordon Ramsay there. I mean, Gordon Ramsay has a huge personality across all the media channels. So when it comes to spreading the word and shouting about our sector, what platforms do you think are the most beneficial or the most used by chefs that can really get your message across?
I think Instagram is really good. I find it quite easy. And again, I'm 47 years old, so it took a little while to engage with it. But I think it's really, really good for visual inspiration and connecting with other chefs. It's very simple and impactful. And then LinkedIn has become, I mean, it used to be useless, but it's now become this really useful, powerful kind of professional tool. And really helps you develop those sort of more industry-specific relationships. And then TikTok, which, to be honest with you, I'm trying to delegate to one of my younger members of my team, is growing fast, and it's good for quick tips and trends, especially with younger audiences. I mean, that said, Paul Foster creates a lot of good content for us as well on TikTok. Some really good seasonal recipes. I'm really enjoying working with him.
So if you could change one thing about the food service industry right now, what would it be?
I mean, to be honest, that's not changed really an awful lot all through my career. I think it's really important that we're constantly sort of trying to elevate training and career development. Throughout my career, it's always flip-flopped from MVQs and all kinds of different training formats, sitting in guilds, just finished just as I was starting. So this sort of vocational qualifications were kind of all over the shop. So I think as an employer, it's incumbent on me to make sure that people are getting the training that they need. And then at the point at which I've exhausted every avenue for their development with me, I encourage them to move to somewhere else, even if it's a different sector, or, you know, whether it's fine dining or whatever that might be. And I think really giving them good career development options is not for me to tell them what to do, but just really opening that up. I think that's becoming more and more important and integral to people's growth. There's always been so much more to cooking, but so much more than I was made aware of. I felt that if I couldn't cook to those sorts of 3 Michelin star, 2 1 Michelin star standards, then I didn't have a career in cooking. And often felt like giving it up because I just couldn't, that those environments weren't great for me to learn in and to operate in. But then when I got into higher volume and those sorts of operations, I've had a career over all kinds of different disciplines. So yeah, I mean, I'd like to see more positive change in terms of training and developing new chefs and young chefs. And again, that's where the academy can really help with people doing that.
And what are your goals for the next year?
My goals for the next year are to positively impact as many businesses as possible through the UFS Academy. We want to run as many workshops through our kitchens in Kingston. And we've got some great new facilities opening up in Q2 next year. And we really encourage people to come and run their workshops, engage with the Academy training so we can do some on-site training. Of course, it's remote and they can use it through the app or through the website. But it's about engaging with as many people as we possibly can and trying to be the solution to as many problems as possible. But beyond the products that we sell and people use and our heritage brands and the rest of it, it's about what's behind those packs as well. We're increasingly trying to engage with those groups and operator groups to sort of help them fix those other pinch points. It's increasingly important for me and my team, who we've basically just built a new team. We want to get out and work with those operator groups and get under the skin of their business a little bit and really understand what their pinch points are. And then we can feed that back into how we build the academy moving forward as well. Maybe how we input into that positively and just try and find as many solutions as possible for people rather than, again, just trying to relieve a little bit of the stress in hospitality.
I'd also like to say how kind of thankful we are as well for Only a Pavement Away for kind of choosing us as your charity partner for the academy. It's a really exciting thing to be a part of.
Yeah, if we can get as many people listening to this, signing up through listening to this podcast, then that means we can contribute.
Absolutely. So consider this a call to arms for all our employer partners to, to sign up to the Academy. And then for everyone that signs up, we actually get a £1 donation to Only Pavement Away as well, which is amazing.
That's
so
fantastic.
Kind of doing good all round, really.
Yeah, really good.
Brilliant. So we always finish our episodes with a quick fire question round. So if you're up for it, should we kick it off?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Right. So first one up. What's your favourite thing about hospitality?
It's got to be the people, both the teams you work with and the guests you serve.
Nice, that's quite a common one. Yeah. Favourite meal to order at a restaurant?
It does change seasonally, but right now it's fish and seafood. So a really good fritto misto or a perfectly cooked piece of seasonal fish with, like a courgette and pea or broad bean salad or something.
Oh, that's making me really hungry. What's the best leadership advice you've ever received?
Lead by example. I haven't always done that, but lead by example. Yeah, your team's going to follow your energy, not just your instructions.
And if you could have dinner with any figure in the hospitality world, past or present, who would it be and why?
Well, there's just been a new Chef's Table series, and José Andrés and Alice Waters really sort of stood out to me on that. Really super inspirational. I think you could just sit in a room and listen to them talk all day. So yeah, those two.
Amazing. Describe hospitality in one word.
Connection.
And what guests would you like to hear on the next Serving Success episode?
I feel like Scotland's really underrepresented in hospitality for some reason, in the UK anyway, in Scotland obviously it's not. But like Hannah Rose, I think she's done some really great things as a young female head chef. So in obviously has been on Great British Menu, so it'd be really good to hear her inputs and industry insights. And similarly, Amber Francis as well, been on Great British Menu, so this has sort of brought her to the fore. But she's now working in the education sector, so she's taken her career in from like the Ritz and Hand and Flowers and real fine dining background, and is now sort of putting back into the industry through the education sector, which is a real, again, nice twist to her career. And it'd be really interesting to get her insights and motivations for that.
A huge thank you to James for joining us as a guest on today's episode.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a joy. And of course, to our sponsors at Stonegate Group, thank you all so much for listening. Please be sure to give us a review and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts to be sure that you never miss an episode. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for the next one. See you then.